Are you listening? Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Mark.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? I would much rather be in the house of God than almost anywhere else I can think of right now. There's a lot of places we could be, but for those of you who are streaming, I feel so sorry for you. Because that last song we were singing, you could just cut the presence of God with a knife. At least you could up here. I don't know how it was back there, but up here it was just like, ah. And glad you can see us if you're streaming, but just something about being in the house of God. You know, this is a place that's been set apart and dedicated to Him. And He takes it seriously. You know, he wants people to come into His house, into His presence, so that He can meet them there. He's God. He can meet us everywhere. But He does things differently and uniquely based off of us seeking to come into His presence. And so I just want to encourage everyone, if you at all can, Pastor said it numerous times, if you at all can, be in church. If you can't, then that's what streaming's for in this day. But if you at all you can, be here, because it not only will impact you, it'll impact somebody else. And it's the right thing to do. We've been talking the last few weeks, stuff about what are we going to do while we're waiting. Pastor mentioned that today. We need to be doing more praying. Need to pray. You say, well, Pastor Mark, why are you so big on all these things we need to be doing, all these things we need to be learning while we're waiting? Because God is trying to prepare us. God is trying to prepare me. God is trying to prepare you. And if our goal as a Christian, our goal in having that which God is wanting to really do to bring new life into us is to truly love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And we go back to the definition which God has given us of the action of love, and that is to bring and pursue the greatest good for another without regard to oneself. If we're really trying to bring the greatest good to the kingdom of God, then we need to learn the things which the Spirit is trying to lead us into and to go there. You know, it goes beyond just hearing and agreeing, but we have to actively work on putting it into practice in our lives. And that's where it gets to be difficult, you know, because sometimes, as we said last week, you know, one of the things He wants to do is rejoice. And it's like sometimes we just don't feel like rejoicing. That's when we need to rejoice. Sometimes we really don't want to acknowledge that God says what He means and He means what He says. But it's life-changing if we'll embrace it. Sometimes we really don't want to have to spend that time in prayer. But it's soul-changing for us and for others. Sometimes we really don't want to be as forgiving is what God wants us to be. But we need to be. Tonight I want to talk about one more thing we need to learn, start putting into practice while we're waiting on the Spirit of God to move and the next big move He's going to do in our lives. And that is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Well, it's found in numerous places, but I want us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. While you're turning there, put a plug out. For those who are going to junior camp, it's going to be here before you know it, and we need camp registration forms within the next 2 weeks. You got next Sunday and the Sunday after that. So if we can get those things in, we want everybody who can to go to junior camp because it will change lives. You say, well, they're just young. Yeah. I can remember way back in the last century whenever I was at junior camps. Changed my life. And it'll change yours. You say, well, I'm too old to go to junior camp. I can't be at junior camp. Well, that's something you can pray about then. Because God wants to impact the youth of today to make an impact today. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The servant of God, the servant of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord? If you are, don't take this and say, well, you know, he was only talking about those who's going to be preachers. No. He's talking to those who will call themselves servants of the Lord. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may receive, may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let's pray for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, ask that the Spirit of God would just speak into our hearts and lives, Lord Jesus, that which you desire for us tonight. That, Lord, we would not just hear the words that are being spoken, but, Lord, we'd really hear what the Spirit wants to say into our lives. That, Lord, we would let our hearts be prepared by the Spirit even now, Lord, to receive the seed of the Word. That, Father, it might bring forth its kingdom desire, Lord, in each and every heart and each and every life. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Paul said to Timothy, he said, we must be gentle. Gentle. The world could sure use some gentleness long about now. The church could use some gentleness. Whenever I read it, it's like, oh, try to define gentle. Without looking in the dictionary and looking in the thesaurus and looking in the Greek. And you know what I kept coming up with for the definition of gentle? Gentle. I mean, it's kind of like, gentle. What does it mean to be gentle? And it's like, well, it's be gentle. I mean, stop and think. I mean, you know, when you think about gentleness, it's you know. My father-in-law is, if any of you see my father-in-law, you last few years he's lost some weight and stuff. Age. But whenever I was a teenager and dating Laura, he was a construction worker. He worked on road construction and he helped lay pipe and I think I've told the story before, but just to give you an idea. He was big. He was strong. And whenever Dad was moving down here, he had this warm morning wood stove in his basement that he wanted to give to my brother Randy up there. And this thing was about that big around, stood about that high, filled with fire brick. And he had it in the middle of his basement and basically, we're just going to have to try and figure out how to lift this thing straight up about 10 foot and get it out there. And it took three of us to drag and scoot and maneuver that thing over there. And it's like, okay, how are we going to get it up now? And so I thought, I'll call Laura's dad. We weren't married yet. And I said, he'll have a winch or something. He had a little bit of everything, it seemed like. And he came and he looked at it and said, oh, we can just lift that out. And I'm like, yeah, right. So he gets down there and I'm up on top and he's on one side, my dad and Randy's on another side. And he says, okay, Mark, whenever we get it up there, you just grab it and make sure it don't roll back on us. And he about laid it over on the two of them. And we got it up and I rolled it over there and he came up, and the next thing I know, he bends down, and he just lifts that thing up. I knew two things. One, this man was very big, and two, I'd better never make his daughter unhappy enough that he wanted to get me. Because he could tear me from limb to limb, literally. So that puts an idea of my father-in-law. But you know what? You put a newborn baby in his hands, and he comes unglued. Because he just knows this new baby is much too fragile, and he wants him about 4 to 6 weeks old. Then he's ready for him whenever he, but he's just as, he can be just as, well, gentle. So what does gentleness really mean? Well, I went to the Greek and found out that what it means is, first off, it comes from a root word that means to apply. So that means whenever the scripture says we're to be gentle, guess what? It means, first off, to apply. To apply appropriateness. To apply kindness. To apply mildness and meekness. Now, there is like, yeah, okay. It's that application that gets to be a little more difficult. That being mild and kind and, well, Paul put it in the letter to the Philippians to prefer one another over oneself. Oh. See, that goes against the problem which we have whenever it comes to applying gentleness, and that is that it's not what we think, it's what others need. Amen. It's not how we want to act, it's how and what is appropriate. Sometimes we like to define what is appropriate for how to respond to someone else. And that goes then to the overlying need and rule of action, and that is to seek the greatest good for another. Oh, yeah, we know what's appropriate. What's appropriate is for us to jack them in the jaw, as Brother Jack Burbridge used to say. You know, just let me jack him once. That'll get his attention, then I can talk to him. But then you find out it's mild and meek and kind, and it's like, well, that doesn't quite jive with what we want. And, you know, we look at it, especially if we look in the context of spiritual gentleness and how we're going to allow that to go into people's lives, there are so many times that we get into where we don't want to be gentle because it just kind of goes against what the moment seems to, in our minds, call for. But notice why God says that we need to be gentle. Excuse me. He says, middle of verse 4, he says, need to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, which we just don't want that, do we? In meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. Whenever I was reading this passage, that just jumps out to me. You know, so often we find ourselves opposing ourselves. People who aren't saved, the actions which they're doing are in opposition to themselves. Oh, they look at it and they think, life is great. I'm having a ball. I'm living the life that everybody dreams of. Everything's good, you know. And they don't see that they're opposing themselves because by not seeking the God who made them, they are missing the relationship and ultimately the eternity with their Creator. It doesn't matter how good things seem to be to them. They are at opposition to themselves, whether they realize it or not. And the apostle's telling Timothy, hey, we need to be gentle. We need to be concerned and kind and compassionate towards these because they don't understand what they're really doing. And he continues to say, you know, peradventure by our actions and by our gentleness and our investing into their lives, peradventure that they'll recover from sin. Is that not the ultimate love towards others, is to have them come into a closer relationship with the God who loves them? It goes against what most people think of, quite honestly. Oh, as Christians, we try and think that we think the right things, but let's just take a what if. What if we really had an opportunity to be in the middle of these rioters in some of these major cities? What would we really want to tell them? I mean, what would we really want to tell them? Stop burning things down, you idiots. If it's not yours, leave it alone. Is that gentle? We say, well, I wouldn't do that, but would we think it? See, let's get down to the real heart of the matter, and that is the heart. It's not necessarily what we do, but what would we like to do, and why do we do what we do? See, because God said what he means, and he means what he says whenever he says, I look at the heart. Because out of the heart proceeds what is really there. He said, what comes out of that mouth, what comes out of a person's being, it starts in the heart, and the heart is where problem generally starts. And he says, I want that heart to be gentle. I want it to be actively looking at how to apply kindness and compassion. I want its motive to be pure. He said, they need to be pure. He said, it needs to be such to where at a moment's notice, we don't have to think about it. It just becomes an extension of who we are. See, this is what God's trying to bring us to, is a new mindset, a new way of living, a new way of looking at his word. He's been telling us this for the last couple of years, trying to prepare to bring us to this place of bringing us to the thing of really pounding and say, okay, now that I told you I want you to get a new song, a new way of looking at things, a new way of understanding that I really am God, and that my word really is my word, and it really does stand. And now he's trying to hone in on us and tell us, okay, now put this into practice in your lives. And if I'm not careful, it goes in one ear and out the other. It doesn't even hit inside the ear. And if it does come into that gray matter and stick, it does no good unless it reaches down into the heart and changes the heart. And isn't it amazing that at certain times we can be so gentle, and other times we can be so harsh? And the Apostle James said, you know what? You can't have sweet water and bitter water coming out of the same fountain. So if we can be gentle sometimes and not so gentle other times, guess what? We got a gentleness problem. We have a selective problem. And where it comes at is we need to be patient. It says apt to teach. Do you know what you have to be able to do before you can teach? You have to learn. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't teach what you don't know. You know? Let's be honest. How many of here would be able to take a job teaching college calculus? Yeah. Why? Don't know it. Don't understand it. Have no desire to either. We'll just go on record. I have no desire to learn how to teach college calculus. But I can't teach it because I don't know it. I don't understand it. So I cannot be apt to teach that. And I cannot be apt to teach and to display patience and gentleness and kindness and the application of it if I don't let God teach it into my life first. And that's where God's trying to bring us, is learn who I really am and let who I really am become part of your life so that you can be that extension to those who are opposing themselves. Flip over a couple pages to Titus. You just go back towards the back, about two or three pages to chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Oh, let's see here. Let's just start at verse 1. We'll just read them. It says, put them in mind. He's telling Titus to put us in mind. To be subject to principalities and powers. To obey magistrates. To be ready to do every good work. Boy. There's a whole bunch of people in positions of a power who wish that there'd be a lot of people who would listen to this one today, don't they? To stop and put a commercial out, I'd like to encourage you. You see a law enforcement officer, give them a kind word. They more than ever, maybe not so much in this area, but they need to know Christians especially have their back. They need to know that, A, we care, and B, they've been added to a prayer list. Because we need law enforcement, and we need them to understand that somebody cares enough to pray. He said, do this, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And then he meddles and says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Boy, I'm sure glad Paul wasn't talking about us, huh? But here's a reason, a very good reason for us to learn to be gentle. It wasn't so long ago we were just like them. And in some ways we're probably still like them. And so we need to learn gentleness. From the understanding that, hey, God, not by anything that we did, or not because we were so good and so kind and so deserving of it, but purely because of the kindness and mercy and gentleness of God, that He saved us from being just like everyone else. Think of how fortunate we are. You were born I was born in a country to people who somehow or another, from one stretch or whatever, managed to have us in a position where we could hear, see, and understand the gospel of Christ enough to come to make a decision to serve Him. I mean, you talk about being blessed. We are blessed beyond measure. You know, we could have very easily been born to someone who hates God. Now, we would still be responsible for what we do with the plan of salvation, but it sure is a whole lot easier whenever you have someone who can help nudge you in that direction. We live in a nation where it's okay to serve God. We have been blessed. And sometimes those blessings become curses because we take it for granted. And then we become lazy. We become to where, as unfortunately the book of Revelation says, we become like the Laodicean church and we think we are okay. When really we're not. And we need to guard against it. We need to guard against complacency that will tell us, okay, yeah, you know, I'm doing good enough on the gentleness factor. I got a feeling if we say we're doing okay in the gentleness factor, we're not. Because I got a feeling whenever we really get into what gentleness is really like according to God's standards, it'll soften our heart and change our heart to such a place that we wouldn't need to have pastor talking about probably need to come up with a prayer list. We would be finding ourselves probably needing to have a stop clock or some kind of alarm to tell us, okay, you need to stop praying. That you need to move on to something else, even though you're going to be praying while you're doing something else. But because I got a feeling gentleness will bring with it, I mean, true gentleness will bring with it a new form of compassion and a new desire to see God move in lives. That we will see that they are really in opposition to themselves so much that name slipped my mind. It would be like the man who prayed constantly, Lord, give me a new soul each day. I had it, and then if anybody knows who it is, shout it out. But I mean, can you imagine? Lord, give me a soul today. And then he went to, Lord, give me two souls a day. And he prayed so hard, so diligently, so compassionately for lost souls that the doctor examined him and told him, I don't know what kind of stress you're under, but it has literally moved your heart and your body. He said, well, I don't know if I want to go to that extreme. Yeah. Probably because we need to learn the nature of God. Which is probably why God is hammering on me and telling me, Mark, learn these things and teach others that they need to learn them. While they're waiting on me, get prepared so that whenever I truly bring new life and I truly bring that which you think you desire, that's going to come in such a different thing than what you've ever imagined or heard possible. See, this next move of God that he wants to do in the lives of the church is not like the same moves he's done in the past.
It's been prophesied that it would not be the same. And as I look and I see what God's trying to do, I realize that, yeah, that's so true. Because in revivals of old, what we looked for was this stirring of God that got people excited and would change things for a period of time. But if you look at the really great revivals, the great awakening, suppose it changed nations, it changed history. And they were never the same. And they never had the same results other than such a move of God that it stirred people to forsake themselves for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, hey, I'm sending you out to the wolves. But when you go out, he said, you need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Don't return evil for evil, but good for evil. Apostle Paul said, hey, just be kind. Vengeance is of God. He'll repay. He said, you just be kind, and in so doing, you're going to heap coals of fire on their head. And we say, yeah, I'll heap coals of fire on their head. No, what he's saying is you're just going to make it to where by your gentleness and your kindness, you're just going to let the goodness of God come in their lives in such a way that it's going to cause them to have a difference. It will bring forth a change. Coals of fire bring purification. It'll change the way they think. I want to finish with one passage. If you turn with me, because I want us to see it. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I wonder, could we look at those who are around us, some we get along with and those that we don't get along with? Could we look at them and say, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will help you find rest. That you can come and learn of me because I am learning of the ultimate example, but I have learned enough of his nature that I can help lead you into who he really is. And that if you want to get a taste of who God really is, I can give that to you. Can we look at our own lives and really say, hey, you know, I really am at a place in my life, in my relationship with God, that someone can look at me and by my actions and by who I am, they can see enough of God to so desire to get to know him. If we are, then I believe it'll drive us towards wanting to be so even more so.
Yes, amen.
And if we're not, then maybe we have a few more things we need to learn. Some more things we need to consider. Some more things that we need to allow Him to lead us and guide us into while we're waiting. Pastor?
Thank you, Brother Mark. Well, I hope that wasn't too difficult for you to understand what God was trying to tell you. Do you believe, I want you to answer this question to yourself. Do you believe that if you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins because you believe He's the Son of God, do you believe that He will give you His Spirit? Okay, so Paul writes to the church of Galatia, and he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness. So, gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. It has to grow. And so, you have the Spirit there, and so, you have been advised by the Word of God tonight, grow some gentleness in your life. It doesn't come automatically. It comes by you cultivating it, cultivating the Spirit. Okay, Lord, I want to be led by your Spirit. Help me to be gentle. How many of you think it would be good if you had a little more gentleness? Okay, now hold your hand up there for a moment, okay? Okay. Yeah, some people got both hands up. Okay, now I want to tell you what. God will help you get gentleness. He will help you develop gentleness. Okay? And don't forget, you said it'd be good if you had it. And so He will give you opportunity to find out how gentle you are and to develop more gentleness. Now, let me tell you, you don't have to go to Walmart to find it. You don't have to go driving downtown in a big city. Home is where you will find the best place to learn gentleness. Home. As for Christians, He tells us this, that it begins, these decisions, these judgments, these conclusions begin at the house of God. Yes, they do. Well, how lucky you are tonight. Here you are at the house of God. So you've already got the beginning. So we can learn gentleness in the house of God. When you go home, whatever fruit of the Spirit you're going to develop in your life, start it at home. Okay? Started at home. And because that's where it begins. It begins at the home. We want to thank those who have streamed for being with us. Stand together with us if you would please. Make up your mind. Make a decision. You got to make decisions. You've got to make decisions. And you need to make a decision that you give God permission to develop in your life gentleness. And you're going to learn, first of all, by the people that are around you. People at work, people at home, Christians, and God. God will do this because it's a spirit-level work. Okay? Let us pray. Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity, Lord. We desire to hear from you tonight. And, well, there you are, Lord God, showing us the Word that tells us pretty point-blank not only what to be, but how to be. Lord, that we can ask you to help us to develop, to grow, to nurture gentleness in our lives, for it is absolutely your will. And we want to thank you in advance, Lord, that you will give us the opportunity to be able to check our gentleness level. And, Lord, we need to know that. And then, Lord, to add to it, to develop it. So help us to be that, Lord. Oh, Lord God, how gentle you were, Lord God. How gentle you are to us now. Help us to be into others as we would have you to be into us. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd be with those who are streaming, those here tonight, Lord. Give us health and safety. And, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, you would help those who can't be here tonight, be it sickness or whatever, to be back in the house of God, Lord, because it's so, so, so very important. And, Lord, I ask you to help us to develop and grow in prayer, Lord. Lord, to walk in your word, your spirit. Go with us. Keep us safe and healthy, Lord. And let families be bound together, Lord. I pray for relationships, Lord. Lord, that families would be strong, that the devils couldn't separate, Lord, but rather hearts would be melted together, knit together in love. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.